You're listening to KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. It's the lunch hour. Are you eating something that you prepared? I didn't think so. June Jolie is not surprised either. She's a Bellevue-based food ethnographer. She studies the eating customs of different cultures and people. This is how Americans eat.
So there's breakfast, lunch, dinner, but there's also before breakfast snack, between breakfast, lunch snack, and then between lunch and dinner snack, and then after dinner snack, and then late night. So eight occasions. We measure who, what, where, you know, and lunch at work is the most dissatisfying.
Lunch at work, the most dissatisfying American meal. She is not the only researcher saying that. NPR reported that only 1 in 5 American workers takes a lunch break away from their desks. June Jolie says this is partly because we don't have access to fresh food, partly because in some workplaces there's no kitchen or designated eating place, but really, the sad shrinking American lunch hour is about a bigger issue.
As a society, as a culture, we don't value the lunch hour anymore. So what typically happens is people look at your schedule and they see that, you know, between 12 and 1, it's open. So what we're seeing is a lot of meetings being scheduled during the lunch hour, the typical lunch hour. So it could be that you're on a conference call, even if you're working at home.
So lunch is the worst. How did we get to this point?
We're working more. And women are working more. We're spending more time outside of home in general. So there's been this sort of shift in food culture from a cooking culture or a cook's culture to an eating culture. And so it used to be just a generation ago, if mom cooked, you know, you showed up, you ate what she put in front of you, what she had prepared. And there's no buts about that, right? But now what we're finding is there's typically not that many cooks in the home. So mom or dad or kids might not be cooking. And so once we start devolving from a cooking culture, we are now evolving into an eating culture. And so I think there's just less focus on planning, preparation, you know. And so when you don't have plans made and you're not thinking about what you're going to have for the next meal, it's you don't know what you're going to eat until you're hungry. That's what we found. Oh, I'm hungry. I gotta get lunch.
Isn't there a beauty in that, though? I make it up every day. I had Korean today. You know, tomorrow I might have something different. I'm lucky enough to work near a fair amount of options on the Ave.
Yeah, there's actually a beauty in it because it frees up time. It frees up certainly cooking time, cleaning time, and then we're also free to eat about, like eat different types of food. So, you know, eating outside of our family really leads to food exploration and discovery. So, yeah, there is a little bit of beauty to it as well. It's not all sad.
Sure, a lot of oil and sodium in those restaurant meals, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So what are you advocating?
Well, you know, like culture, it's pretty complex. It's less about exactly what you eat, and it's more about how you eat that makes a difference. Tons of snacky type foods, right, you can have for lunch. But, you know, when it comes to creating bonds at work, creating social relationships, and just giving yourself a break in the day, I think it's wonderful. So I think it's thinking about it. We should be a little bit more mindful and decide, is this what we want, rather than being reactive? Because it's pretty important. It's a pretty important time to nourish yourself and give yourself a break and just reconnect with something other than the computer.
Doesn't a longer lunch mean I've just got to spend more time at work? If I can eat while I work, I can get to my kids sooner. I can get to whatever it is faster.
Yeah, that is what it means. But the other side of it is everybody has their computer open. You know what? If everybody took lunch, nobody would be working during that hour, and we wouldn't miss that extra hour of productivity. And maybe it's not so much productivity. Maybe we're, you know, kind of wasting our time. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe there's an undiscovered opportunity.
Right.
It's time for us to remember.
Right. It's just like when we have a holiday, you know, the emails all slow down. The inbox isn't so cluttered because we're all taking a national rest. So what about just a national little, you know, a little beat to rest during the day?
You are a food ethnographer. Are there mm-hmm. other cultures besides American culture, Seattle culture, that approach lunch very differently that we ought to think about?
Oh, yeah. I think we're kind of the worst, and we're leading the charge in other countries. So when I did some field work in Mexico, one of the guys was telling me, you know, there's 20 people standing behind me who want my job, so I can't take the traditional Mexican lunch hour or two. So I think it's a condition of modern working and modern living and commuting and
global competition.
Global competition, certainly. But then there are other countries that do it differently. So in China, in Korea, in France, they eat together. So even if it's not provided for them, although the company will often subsidize in Korea, they all leave together. And in fact, when I was working in Korea, I brought my little snacky things for lunch because, you know, that's what I do, right? And I started eating it at the desk. And they said, "What are you doing? What are you eating at your desk?" And they, you know, kind of forced me. That's weird, right? In China, I think that there's a lot of cafeterias there, and so they do eat together communally as well.
Do you think we can, as a culture, start to change the lunch hour, take it back?
Yes.
From sadness?
Yes, we should start a campaign and take back our lunch hour. I think so.
How would that happen? How would that start?
I think we just need to, you know, it could even be one person in a company or a couple and just start eating lunch together, even if it's, you know, awkward or odd and just start talking about it. But certainly companies who get to decide these things can do some, can support their employees.
That's June Jo Lee, a Bellevue-based food ethnographer, arguing that American workers need more support so you can take back your lunch hour. Peter Miller's on board with that. He is a boss. He owns Peter Miller Books near Pike Place Market, and every day at lunchtime, he and his employees prepare a meal and eat it together.
If you take that break, the afternoon becomes a separate segment. You're refreshed. You know, it's a little bit like washing your face and hands. Everything, just for a moment, felt better. I mean, when they give you the warm towel on the plane, you're always surprised that this stupid little towel made such a difference.
So how does lunch go in your company?
The night before, it's sort of an act of what we call cooking over the shoulder of a meal, where you actually say, well, look, I'm already making the pasta. I could certainly throw another half pound of pasta in here. The water's already boiling. All I'm going to do is throw it away. I'm going to sit down to dinner. I'll throw a little extra pasta in for tomorrow, or I'll make a little more pasta, or, I have half a chicken left, or whatever it is. You can make extra rice. So there is some task of keeping in mind and planning for it. And then the next day, we simply look at the situation. Somebody, usually me or someone, will say, you know, I brought this or I brought that. There's only two or three of us, so we're quite quick. Maybe somebody stopped at the market, or, you know, we texted someone and said, would you grab two lemons, or would you grab some lettuce, or, you know, whatever.
Every day? You're making lunch every day?
You make lunch every day. While it sounds to someone saying, geez, I'm not going to make lunch every day, once you actually have this system in place, you're already, if you have rice left over, trying to figure out what you're going to do with it the next day.
Sure, but especially if you have permission from the boss, encouragement from the boss.
Sure. There's a very interesting democracy to eating and certainly to lunch. And when you go to lunch, there's a kind of starting line in which it's very democratic. Everyone has the same status. Some people might be quite good at lettuce. Some people might be quite good at something else. Some people might have brought something that was quite good. It may be that the person of the most power in terms of the office
is in fact me,
but we've had people come visit who have been quite meek in their power of sitting at lunch because that's not what they're good at. They can't make a salad dressing.
Is that a dynamic at work that during lunchtime, all of a sudden, maybe the hierarchy.
The hierarchy is a different hierarchy than a work hierarchy.
They're not making any more money.
No.
But they're on top.
If they can cook.
If they can cook.
Right.
In my workplace, we're eating takeout and eating at our desk, a lot of us.
All of you.
You're getting less work done, though, right?
You mean because we're gobbling up so much time making our lunch? No, I think we probably are done in 20 minutes.
Okay.
You know, I think we put it down, we tell stories, it's a thing. Sometimes people will take it and go to their desk because they have something they have to get out. A lot of it has really surprised me. The food is better, obviously. If I make you a salad and you bought the salad that was made in Tukwila this morning at 6 a.m., I'm not going to lose that race.
Right.
I mean, I'll win that. The food is better because it's made right then. We really only allow 15 minutes to make the food, and only one person goes down there to get it all ready. And then everybody shows up, sits down, we eat, we talk, we're done, boop. The person who really can't cook cleans up, and we're back at work.
And what's the surprising effect for you? It does what to you besides give you a nice lunch and 20 minutes with your colleagues?
The surprising effect, and you know, no one's ever said it, but I know every person when I run a bookstore, they don't make any money. Every one of them is pleased that at the end of the week, there's $50 they didn't spend for lunch. And they know it. It's as if you gave them a whole free transport system. And that's important. But that added to the food, added to the fact that you actually, for a minute, sat with everybody and someone said, oh, Mike, I had a terrible night or blah, blah, blah. Which something they won't say otherwise. It's an out-of-time time. It's an interesting privacy that you then, at the end of the day, go back to your own privacy. But it creates its own world, just for a second.
Peter Miller owns Peter Miller Books near Pike Place Market. He's the author of Lunch at the Shop. It's a cookbook of the lunch recipes he and employees make in the bookstore kitchen every day. We're talking about the lunch hour on Twitter right now. @KUOW, #tweetingwhileeating.